Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Bulls Beat Podcast Show, the Chicago Bulls Podcast, here at www.bullsbeat.com.
Welcome back to the Bulls Beat Bulls fans. Doug Cohn is here with you discussing our Chicago Bulls, and you can thank my daughter Paige and her teacher Mr. Batista for the return of the show. Mr. Batista's been harassing my daughter for the last 3 months since she started junior high for me to bring back the show, and I finally agreed that I would do so, so here we go. And you know what? The Bulls have actually been interesting enough that it's fun to do a show. There's actually a lot of questions about the team, a lot of direction that's changing right now. I kind of thought it would be a pretty dead season. You just traded Jimmy Butler. You knew that team probably wasn't really going anywhere. They were very much stuck in the middle. I do think it would have been interesting if they had tried to pursue a cap space plan in 2018 with Jimmy Butler and a ton of room on the books. But with Russell Westbrook signing a long-term deal with Oklahoma City, I think he was the one guy I would have really liked to target. And outside of Westbrook, I don't really see someone who's in their prime that I want to give that huge amount of money to. Not a fan of paying Paul George that huge amount of money. Not a fan of DeMarcus Cousins and paying him that huge amount of money. So I think it's probably better not to pursue that plan right now. And you know what? Maybe the Bulls management was right. Initially, I wasn't a big fan of the deal where they traded Jimmy Butler out. I thought they could have gotten a better return than they did. I still do think that you probably didn't have to throw in that number 16 draft pick. You could have kept that pick. But as it so turns out, things don't look so terribly bad right now. I know after the draft, I did one show. I kind of said this Lauri Markkanen guy doesn't seem like someone who you'd really want to draft. And his highlights looked really poor. This was a guy who's just a straight catch-and-shoot guy. Didn't seem like he was going to do a whole lot. But watching him in the NBA, he looks like he is definitely a player. He looks like he's going to be someone who's pretty good. And you got to say at this point, the Bulls did a good job in the draft picking him at number 7. He wasn't a guy that I think I would have targeted, but this is why I say the people who have the scouts, who get to watch everyone, who get to bring people in for workouts, they really are dealing with a lot more information than you and I are when we just see some highlight videos and some write-ups on Draft Express or NBA Draft.net or ESPN or whatever. And so Lauri Markkanen looks like a really solid player, and you have to hand it really to guard packs. They've done a pretty good job in the draft over the history of their draft picks. And so this is another pick that looks like they hit, so good news there. Now, the bad news is the Bulls were doing just about what you'd want them to do for a while. They were 3-20, and all of a sudden they rattle off 7 straight wins. And then they lose a game to Cleveland, and so now they're 10-21. And when you think about 10-21, it's not so bad in terms of tanking. They're still kind of, sort of, like right in the mix. But they lost to Cleveland on the road by 3 points. Like, this is a team that all of a sudden is playing really well. And you now have to ask yourself, what are you going to do with this group? Nikola Mirotic is actually playing, you know, all-star level basketball, maybe even superstar level basketball right now. He's shooting close to 50% from the three-point line. Insane true shooting percentage. Just filling it up. Now, this is the type of thing that I think classically cannot continue. This isn't to say Nikola Mirotic isn't going to be better than he was in the past, that he didn't make some legitimate improvements. He definitely may have made some legitimate improvements. But I don't think he is a guy who's going to be a 50% three-point shooter. Nothing he's done in the past really would indicate that he's that good. And there's so few guys in the NBA who are that good at shooting from the three-point line that it just seems extremely unlikely. This just feels like a really big hot streak. Same with his true shooting percentage. Nikola looks like a guy who's playing much above whatever level he's going to settle into. Now, you can hope if you're a Bulls fan and he sticks around that he settles into a level that's pretty good. The only thing I don't like about that is Nikola Mirotic really isn't a guy who seems like he's going to be here in the long term. Now, at his present deal, the Bulls will definitely pick him up next year the way he's playing right now. He'd be a super value, and maybe you hope you can trade him. He does have a no-trade clause for this season, but he would not have one next season if the Bulls pick up his team option. And that's due to the CBA. It wasn't like the Bulls negotiated a special collective bargaining agreement, a no-trade clause with him. It's a deal where if you sign a guy to a one-year deal with a team option, he gets an automatic no-trade clause this year. So that is why that clause exists, and why the Bulls may or may not have a hard time trading him, depending on what Mirotic wants to do. You know, Mirotic is still coming off the bench with Markkanen starting, and Markkanen had a huge game against Cleveland, which was nice to see because he had kind of settled into what seemed like a little bit of a slump, and maybe that was due to the back spasms. You know, he did miss several games with back spasms, you know, and he was playing poorly before that. Maybe his back was a little bit sore. Maybe he's already physically maybe not strong enough to be in the NBA at this point and needs to bulk up a little bit. You know, that's not uncommon for a rookie big man, especially one, you know, who's an outside shooter. I think it's tough when you're a big man and you're not someone who's ever seriously hit the weights before. because you get to the NBA and the big men are so big and they're so strong that it is often, I think, a very tough toll on a guy like Markkanen, who doesn't really strike you as a guy who's just amazingly strong and built, is going to have a tougher time with the matchups in the NBA. So it doesn't surprise me that he's got a little bit of back soreness and stuff. I'm not so concerned about that at this point. Obviously, back problems can be a long-term issue, especially with big men. But at this point, I think you just figure he probably just needs to get on the NBA weight regimen. It's probably something a couple years in the league he's going to have that type of strength that he can go forward. So besides Mirotić playing really well, Laurie having the bounce back game, you've seen Bobby Portis play exceptionally well all season long. And Portis's sample size is quite a bit larger than Mirotić's sample size so far. I do think Portis has probably legitimately improved quite a bit. He's got a PER around like 19-20 right now. He's playing right around, we'll say, low all-star level basketball right now. So he's also played very, very well. He might dip back down to earth a little bit. I think his three-point percentage is probably a shade higher than I would expect him to be able to continue going forward. But you never know. We'll see how it goes with him. He is in that third season, the season that guys tend to have breakout years, and he's having a breakout year right now. And he's just playing really well, very solid offensively, takes good shots, hits a very high percentage. And the thing I like is his field goal percentage is pretty consistent with last season. So it's not like this leap in his statistics is so far out of realm of what he's doing, unlike Mirotić, that does seem like maybe he can pick this up. Now, Mirotić could slow down to Bobby Portis' level, and I think maybe he could sustain that too. So you've now got three big men who are playing really well in Laurie, Nico, and Portis. And then you've got Lopez, who's consistently played, you know, pretty well. Obviously, he's not scoring at the rate these other guys are, but he's very solid defensively, great veteran leadership. And so you have to ask yourself, one, you've got Cristiano Felicio, who just signed this big deal, who's not getting off the bench at all. There's no reason he ever should get off the bench. I would love to trade him. That's probably not possible, at least not in any type of good deal that you want to get back. And so the Bulls are going to be moving into this trade deadline pretty soon, and they're going to have to try to figure out what they're going to do with this glut of big men. You've got Laurie, Nico, Portis, Lopez. I think there's a good chance the Bulls trade one or two of those guys. Now, clearly, they're not going to trade Laurie unless they get something back really special, and no one really trades for a guy like Laurie. It just is really uncommon for rookies who are playing well and liked by their team to be traded, especially if you're in the Bulls position where you're trying to rebuild. This is the type of guy you want in your roster. He's under control for a long-term contract at a very reasonable price, so it would be very difficult to prime away, and no team is going to offer anything to do so. If you look at Portis or you look at Mirotić, these are guys that might command some value around the league. The problem with trading Mirotić, as I mentioned earlier, is the no-trade clause, and also a team getting Mirotić only has him locked up for one more season, and then they're going to have to see what he's going to command as an unrestricted free agent, which could be a risk for another team. So you start looking at teams that would take him, and it becomes a little bit dicey. He's the type of guy that might fit really well on a team like Cleveland, except Cleveland really doesn't have a need for a stretch four. And so otherwise, like, his situation would probably fit well in Cleveland. I kind of wonder maybe if he could fit down with the Pelicans, but I think probably between, you know, Davis and Cousins, they probably don't need another big man. That's probably the last type of guy they need as well. There's probably not so many places Mirotić fits in well that really has the type of assets to trade back to you that would fit. And so we'll have to see what type of options are out there for him and where Mirotić would be willing to go as well, because obviously he can control his own destiny there. Now, Portis is an interesting guy because he's in that third season. He's going to be a restricted free agent after another season. So you still got him on the cheap for one more year, and then you have him on that restricted type of thing for you after that point where you still control his contract and you can ensure he doesn't leave. You have to obviously hope some other team doesn't overpay him. But we've not really seen restricted free agents getting amazing offer sheets so much anymore, especially guys like Portis who probably won't be clear max contract guys. And so there's a pretty good chance you could get him on a somewhat reasonable deal. We saw that with Mirotić where he really didn't have a big market for him. And Portis is another guy who might end up being kind of similar. And so you'll have to really just kind of see where things go with that. And you know, we'll see what happens. I think the Bulls probably hang on to Portis. If I was going to hang on to one guy or the other, I would hang on to Bobby Portis. I would try to trade Nikola Mirotić just because I'd feel like Portis is quite a bit younger. He's a guy I control his contract, so I could keep him around for 6 years. If he's going to play really well, he could be a really big part of the future with Chicago Bulls. Now, you do wonder how Laurie and Portis fit together. Maybe that's a little dicey, and either one of these guys really is a center. I think there probably is enough room for one of them to play small at center. You know, just pretty much every team in the NBA is doing something like that. So I don't know that it's terrible that those two guys are together, but you do question that fit. Portis is a guy right now, if the value for him was around in the league and teams are really interested, he is a guy that I would definitely consider moving because you do have that dicey fit with Markkanen. He still has only 1 year left on his kind of cheap deal before you're going to have to pay up and potentially pay him big money. And so he's a guy, if you could get good value for, might be a guy you could find more trade partners for and get something better back. And that might be something you have to consider. Now, the other great news for the Chicago Bulls is Chris Dunn is playing just really great basketball. This was a guy I was very down on in the summer. I have to say I didn't watch a whole lot of Wolves, but this guy played terrible for the Timberwolves, barely played. It looks like Tom Thibodeau really did him a disservice in developing him because Chris Dunn really looks like a player right now, just tremendously athletic. He's making, you know, pretty good decisions with the ball. He definitely has a high turnover rate that he can probably improve on. He quietly is shooting extremely well, especially given his reputation. He's very shifty. I think he's playing very well. This guy looks like he's definitely a starting caliber point guard to me. When when we brought him over in the trade, I thought if he develops into a role-playing guard off the bench, that's probably all you could hope for him. I thought his red flags were going to be really negative. You know, went to a small school, was a senior, old for a rookie. Those are the types of things that, like, a lot of times if you don't cross over and develop right away, it often just means that people, you know, misevaluated you and thought you were better than you were because of the lower level of competition or because you were playing 2 years older than all the other prospects. But as it so turns out right now, Chris Dunn looks like a really solid player, and this looks like somebody who's going to help the Bulls going forward. And I think that is very exciting for the Bulls as well. So Chris Dunn becomes a really nice pickup. And so you start looking at, like, what could pieces of your core look like going forward? What could pieces of a really good team, we're not going to say championship team, it's tough to get there, and you'll definitely have to see what changes, but for a team that could get to the second round of the playoffs or better, what could be pieces of that core? And right now, you're looking at this team, you're thinking, you know what, Laurie could be a piece of that core. Chris Dunn could be a piece of that core. Bobby Portis could be a piece of that core. You know, Nikola Mirotic, if he could stay around and plays like this, he could be a piece of that core. So you started this season off thinking, like, I don't know if there's a single player on this roster who will still be on this roster when the Bulls are good again. And now I'm looking at this team thinking, like, there's a lot of guys that could actually maybe kind of still be here when this team is good again. And we haven't even seen Zach LaVine play. And so this brings up the question of, like, what is the Bulls' direction right now? You know, we were thinking about tanking, and now all of a sudden they win a bunch of games. They're really not, like, in the very high part of the lottery anymore. You know, for a while they were first, had the best odds of getting the first pick, and now, I don't know, like, fourth, fifth, sixth. You know, they're kind of like now in this big clump of teams that are between, you know, maybe like 8 and 11 wins. And so it's going to be really tough for the Bulls to really sink down and get that, like, 1-3 type of odds again. Now, maybe this is just a flash in the pan. Maybe some of these guys, you know, start playing really poorly. Maybe a couple trades get made that weakens the roster to a point where the Bulls lose again. But the Bulls are probably going to need to aggressively unload some talent if they still want to try and get a really high draft pick. And I think at this point, that's probably what you need to do. While I did just sing the praises of several guys on the roster, Lopez doesn't seem like a guy who's going to stick around. I think he'll probably find greener pastures after this. You could bring him back, but also at his age, he's not really going to be in his prime by the time you're looking to really contend again. And that wouldn't be the worst. You know, you'd be okay with that, but he's not really maybe a guy who's going to be around. Mirotic, like I said, after getting punched in the face, having his face broken, I can't see him wanting to return here when he's an unrestricted free agent. I think he'll command a lot of money because he'll still have a lot of good prime years left. If he plays really well the next two seasons, then you're going to have to pay him up. And I don't think you really want to do that either. So those guys become a little dicey. So those are the two guys I would look to move if I could. And that then leaves the team in a position where you've got a lot of the young guys who could grow together over the next 4, 5, 6 seasons and could still then be talents that increase their trade value because they're still young and they improve, or could help you become that team that gets to the second round or beyond in the playoffs. And so that's kind of my off-the-cuff thought. Now, it doesn't almost matter to me what value you get back for these guys at this point. Mirotic, I think you almost have to dump off the roster just because he's getting you too many wins. So I would say Mirotic, and if you can't really get a good draft pick back, a sneaky move with Mirotic might be to include Cristiano Felicio in a deal with Mirotic and take back an expiring deal and, like, not so much of an asset, like maybe a second rounder or something. If you can't find someone to give you a mid-first rounder, but you can find someone who will take Mirotic and take Felicio's contract off the books and give you a do-over on that scenario, then I think that is maybe the type of thing that might work out well for the Chicago Bulls. That might be a move that it clears out at least a little of that one mistake you made. And I think you just always should sell quickly when you make mistakes and acknowledge them. One of the things that happens frequently in the stock market is people decide that they're going to, you know, they're going to sell off their winners to make money and they're going to hang on to their losers. And when people do this, they generally always end up losing like way more money because the winners tend to keep winning and the losers tend to keep losing. So if you can, in this point, I think if you can get rid of a guy who looks like he's definitely a bad contract, I think that is probably a solid move for you at this point. Now, the Bulls aren't in a situation where maybe they're going to use all this cap space, so maybe it won't hamstring them so much. It's not something they have to do. But I think it is an alternative that they could do on the condition that they can't find a better deal for Mirotić. Now, if I can, I'd rather bring back picks than save money. But if I can't bring back picks because there's just not a lot of teams that want to play that type of game with you, then I think bringing back money might be, or bringing back some cash savings might be a way that you can at least do something with this deal. Mirotić definitely has some real value around the league, so you don't just want to give him away. You got to get something back. Lopez is another guy. I don't think you're going to get a whole lot back. You could also maybe see if you could package Lopez and Felicio and not get any picks back. That might also be a deal. A team that, you know, is in contention or something might take on a team that, you know, doesn't really necessarily have any assets to give you and doesn't want to give up an asset for a guy like Robin Lopez, but does want him on a roster. I think it's going to be tougher than people think to trade Lopez just because when you look around the league, I think most teams have centers. They don't need an extra big center like Lopez. There's really no teams, I think, that are really strong that need him on the roster and aren't going to give anything up for him. So I think there's a good chance Lopez might end up sticking around. So we'll have to wait to see how that goes and what type of deals come to fruition as we start to approach that trade deadline. We still do have almost 2 full months away, so there's plenty of time left to try and figure out what to do. But what the Bulls do need to figure out is a way to get back down into the top five for picks. There's probably 4 players in this draft, people tend to think, that look like they have star potential in the NBA. And you'd really like to come away with one of those players who could help anchor a rebuild for your team. And we'll see how it goes. You know, I'm not going to be a great judge of college talent at this point. I do kind of wonder if any of these guys are really like your can't-miss superstar. You know, a lot of times there'd be guys, people say, these are great prospects. You know, people like O.J. Mayo, people thought was going to be just a tremendous prospect. Greg Oden. I mean, there's like a lot of guys people think are going to be great prospects who really tend to flame out. And so you do kind of, you know, have to hope that the Bulls pick the right guy if they do get to that point. But you also have to acknowledge there's a pretty high failure rate. That's one thing the Bulls have been a little bit immune to. If you look at their lottery picks, Tyrus Thomas was kind of a bust, actually a huge bust. But outside of that, they've really nailed like every pick in the top 10 that they've ever had. They've had guys who've really, you know, at least been very, very solid performers for them, have been overachievers for them, or have at least justified their draft position. And so I do have a pretty good amount of faith that if the Bulls are able to get that type of pick, they'll be able to make it wisely and do something well. So at this point, Bulls fans, you let me know. Are you rooting for wins? Are you rooting for losses? I'm still on the rooting for losses train, but I'm hoping that we can get rid of a couple of the guys that are maybe pushing us over the top for wins, but we can then still see some really good play and development out of Chris Dunn, out of Lauri Markkanen, out of Bobby Portis. You know, some of these guys could be a long lot better later for the Bulls and play better. I do want to see those guys continue to improve. With the return of Zach LaVine, probably another week or two, I think that's actually going to increase the Bulls' losses quite a bit. It's always difficult to reintroduce a major minute player into the roster, even though Zach LaVine is going to kind of fill in a hole where there's no one playing so great right now. I do think he is going to, with his rust and his maybe his attitude of I can score a lot and I need to shoot a lot and I need to get my shots up and I need to just work through this and that type of thing. Those scenarios often make you a lot worse initially than when you'll be better. And we saw that a lot with Derrick Rose. People always said, well, 80% of Derrick Rose is going to be better than like half the point guards in the league. But as it so turns out, the problem is Derrick Rose playing at 80% with the mentality of Derrick Rose when he's 100% is actually worse than every point guard in the league because he's still jacking up shots like crazy. He's still trying to do all the stuff he's just not physically capable of doing. Now, could he have toned it down and played as a role player and played better than a lot of other point guards? Yes, he probably could have. But it wasn't in his basketball DNA to do that. And I do think when we see Zach LaVine come back, you're going to see some of that too. And I don't think that's necessarily bad. With Derrick Rose, you know, he was a superstar of the team. He thought he was still a superstar. He tried to play like that. I want to see Zach LaVine come back and try and play like a superstar, especially initially when I'm rooting for some losses and he needs to work through it. I do want him to get his confidence back up. I do want him to prove that he's a good player because, you know what, the Bulls are going to have to make a decision on this guy in the offseason. And that's going to be an awfully difficult decision. It's unlikely that Zach LaVine is going to play incredible, you know, just returning from the ACL for the final 4 months of the season or so, maybe even less, maybe only 3 months and change. You know, he might only end up having about half a season. And so you're going to have to judge this guy on half a season, maybe a little bit more than that, and whether you want to lock him up for like $25 million a year. And I think at this point, I would be very, very concerned about locking up LaVine. The one argument for that is the argument I made earlier, which is that there really isn't a lot of guys out there you'd want to use your cap room on. There's not a lot of guys who are going to be max contract guys, and probably the Bulls aren't going to be the destination of the few guys who are the best guys, according to ESPN and all the magazines and what out there. The Bulls aren't going to be the team that those guys want to go to because they don't look like a winning team right out of the gate. And so the Bulls are then going to be looking at using their cap space on guys who aren't even the best of the best. And in those guys, I'm not comfortable with. So at this point, if you sign LaVine to a 4-year extension, I think it probably doesn't really hurt you any just because you're not going to have maybe so much to do with that money anyway. And so we'll have to wait to see how things go. But I would be a little cautious with LaVine. I think it's still a bad contract if he doesn't come back and play well. No reason to lock yourself into a bad contract. So you do need to see LaVine kind of prove it. And in that sense, I hope he just keeps firing away, you know, tries to prove that he's a great player. And hopefully he's successful and the Bulls got another solid guy in their roster. You start looking at this team right now and pegging them going forward, and you start thinking, if LaVine is a good player and marketing continues to grow and Portis is a good player, now let's assume Nico is gone. We'll assume Lopez is gone. We'll see the Bulls bring in, we'll say, solid role players. And let's just say they draft like 7th and they get another guy who's a very solid, we'll say, near all-star player. That team is a playoff team in like a year. And they have like a lot of room. They have a lot of ability to become a very good team again very quickly. Are they going to become a championship team? I think that's going to be really difficult, probably no matter what. It's probably going to require a lot of luck with this draft pick. You're going to really need to get a superstar. There are guys with superstar potential in this draft, but you're going to need that pick to turn into a superstar to really give the Bulls that driving force they'll need to go forward. I think that's probably a little more than I can hope for, but you know, I'll be happy to have a young, quality team. And so if you have a bunch of guys on your team and you're on pace to win, say, 50 games, we'll say the Ben Gordon, Kirk Heinrich era Bulls, you know, you have all young guys and you're winning around 50 games, you know, that's a place where you can sometimes do a lot of stuff. That's a place where you become attractive to free agents. It's a place where sometimes you can get the right type of momentum to get pushed over the top. It is always difficult. There's no clear path to do that. But you could also sit in the lottery for the next 10 years and never get the guy that's going to be the superstar either. So there's never a clear path to be the best team in the league. It's always difficult. And we'll have to see what can happen for the Bulls. But I am excited to see that some of their key young players actually do look like pieces for the future. Anyway, that will do it for this edition of the Bulls Beat. You can catch me now on the Chicago Bullseye website and RSS feed. That's where I'll be posting all the podcasts. Obviously, you know that if you found this one. And I will talk to you guys soon.